I wasn't quite sure what to do, but I felt sort of hopefully led by God to share stuff. I've been listening to some stuff recently on Romans 5, and so I wanted to share some thoughts from that. But let me just start by praying. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, I just pray that your Spirit will teach us, Lord. Lord, though I will be uttering words, I pray that you will speak to our hearts, Lord. Lord, that you will guide my words. You will help me to say what you want me to say, Lord. And Lord, if I make any mistakes, that you would cover those, Lord, and that you would make sure people, all of us, including myself, understand your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, so Romans 5, I'm going to read verses 1 to 11. Therefore, since we've been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope. And hope does not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. But while we were still weak, at the right time, Christ died for the ungodly. For one will scarcely die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person one would dare even to die. But God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Since therefore we have now been justified by his blood, much more shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom now we have received reconciliation. Okay, I'm just going to put this a bit higher. Okay, so notice in verse 1, Paul says, we have peace with God. Now, it's not the peace of God. Now, we are promised the peace of God elsewhere in Scripture. But this isn't talking about that. This is talking about peace with God. Because by nature, we are God's enemies. But now, we have peace with God. We are reconciled to God. As it says in Ephesians, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. So how have we obtained this peace? Well, in verse 8, it says that God shows his love for us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Notice that the initiative is God's, not ours. While we were sinners. In verse 6, it tells us while we were weak, while we were ungodly. Now, I said the question, how have we obtained this peace? Not how do we obtain or how might we obtain. This peace has already been obtained. Okay, let me read the first two verses again. Therefore, since we have been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him, we have also obtained access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. We have been justified. We have peace with God. We have also obtained. This is what the world would call a done deal. This is something that's already happened. It cannot be undone. How is this done? Through our Lord Jesus Christ. As it says in verse 9, we are justified by his blood. Jesus died to secure our justification. Jesus died so that we can be reconciled to God. Jesus died so that we can have peace with God. Jesus didn't die for nice people or even for well-meaning people who struggle a bit. Jesus died for the ungodly. That's what it says in verse 6. We were ungodly and Jesus still died for us. This is how much God demonstrates his love for us. That Jesus died for us when we were his enemies, when we hated God. As I said before, we are by nature sinful and enemies of God. We have absolutely nothing in us to recommend us to God. God sent Jesus to die for us only because of his great love, nothing to do with anything we do. And we must take care not to even replace works by faith. It says about being justified by faith in verse 1. And we can sort of have this idea that somehow our faith has sort of earned us this salvation. But it says in Ephesians again, it says, "For by grace you've been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Now, Romans 5 verse 1 says we've been justified by faith, but that doesn't mean we've earned anything by our faith. Faith is simply the channel by which we are saved, by which we receive our justification. But even that faith, as Ephesians remind us, is a gift from God. Verse 9 makes it clear that the thing that actually achieves our justification is the blood of Jesus. Faith is just the channel through which we receive it. So it talks about being saved, and I just almost slightly a digression here, but the Bible talks about saved in both past, present, and future. It talks about the fact that we have been saved, okay, from the guilt of sin. That's what justification means. Okay, we're told in verse 1, we have been justified. God has declared us righteous because Jesus has paid the price for our sin. So we have been saved. And we're told, and from 1 Corinthians, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God." Sometimes the Bible talks about us being saved in the sort of present. We're being saved. We've been saved from the guilt of sin. We're being saved from the power and pollution of sin as the Holy Spirit works in us and sanctifies us. But it also, as here, talks about being saved in the future. Verse 9 says, shall we be saved by him from the wrath of God? We will be saved in the future from the penalty of sin on the day of judgment. But how can we be sure of this? How can we have assurance? Can we be sure of this salvation? Well, it's certainly not proved by the evidence of having a nice, blessed life. If we look back, I've sort of skipped past verses 3 and 4, but it talks about sufferings. The evidence of being saved is not the fact that God's blessing us and everything is smooth and wonderful. Jesus tells us that in this life we will have trouble. But verse 5 tells us that God has poured his love into our hearts through his Holy Spirit. The greatest assurance we can have is through the Holy Spirit bearing witness to our spirit. As it says in later on in Romans, chapter 8, verse 16, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. This is the way to have full assurance, the Holy Spirit witnessing to our spirit. But realistically, we all have our struggles at times. I would like to think that I always had that full assurance, but I'm my own personal testimony is that I can't claim that I always have that sort of complete assurance of the Holy Spirit witnessing to my spirit. I don't always feel like that. It's always true, but I don't always feel like that. We always have the Holy Spirit. Romans 8 verse 9 makes it very clear that if you're in Christ, you have the Holy Spirit. But sometimes we may not feel that we have this assurance, but in that case, we can go to God's word. Full assurance comes from the testimony of the Holy Spirit within us. But we can look at the scriptures and we can know that we have that assurance. Verses 10 and 11 say, "If while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more now that we are reconciled, shall we be saved by his life. More than that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation." It's absolutely clear this is a finished work. In verse 2, it says we stand in grace. In verse 1, it says we have been justified. In verse 10, it says we are reconciled. And the point of verse 10 and 11, it's making the point that If God will do that for us when we were his enemies, how much more can we be sure now we are reconciled that God will keep us secure? I pray for the full assurance that the Holy Spirit gives, the full assurance that doesn't come from reason, but directly from the Holy Spirit. I pray this for me and for all of us. But we can all have assurance from the scripture that our salvation, our redemption, our future glorification is guaranteed. If you are in Christ, you already have peace with God. You have it now. You have it because Jesus died for you. It has already been obtained. So you can trust completely that you are secure. And as it says later in Romans chapter 8, at the end of Romans chapter 8, for I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Our Heavenly Father doesn't want us to be unsure of where we stand. He gives us his Holy Spirit to help us have that assurance. But even when we're struggling to feel it, he gives us his word to guarantee that we can hold on to this, that we are secure. And he holds us, and nothing can separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Let's pray. Dear Lord and Heavenly Father, we thank you for what you've done. We thank you, Lord God Almighty, that you delivered Jesus to be the source of our justification. We thank you, Jesus, that you died on the cross, you shed your blood, and you rose again, that we may be justified by your blood. We thank you, Lord God Almighty, that you sent your Holy Spirit, and that we have your Holy Spirit, Lord. And we praise you that you have saved us. You are saving us, and you will save us on the day of judgment. And that we can be sure of this through your Spirit testifying to us, but also, and we pray we would know that. But also, Lord, you have promised this in your word, and we can trust in your word that we are secure. We are children of God, and that nothing can snatch us out of your hand. We thank you for this. In Jesus' name, amen.